Lord God, you are our Heavenly Father. We praise you for all that you are to us and all that you do. Now, as we open up your word, it is my prayer, God, that you will please speak to us, speak through even this humble servant of yours. I pray, Lord God, that you will be heard in every way. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. That's not what you need to see. This. See, Glenn, that's why I wanted to just... There you go. The year was 1992, late 1992. Nelson Mandela has just come out of prison. He's traveling around the world. Nelson Mandela was the first democratically elected president of South Africa, for those who don't know. And he's traveling around the world. People are excited after 27 years plus imprisoned, being persecuted and all of that. He comes out, and with his entourage, he's at the airport in Johannesburg, South Africa. And as he walks through the corridors, the custodians, the cleaning ladies and gentlemen are there doing their normal thing. They heard that he will be coming through that way. But now they are seeing him. It's the first time they've heard about him. In South Africa, Nelson Mandela was known by every human being. Even children knew who he was. Many had never seen him with their own eyes. But now as he's walking with his entourage, this bunch of ladies carrying mops and buckets, cleaning, see him. Now I want you to be with me in your mind's eye. If they see him for the first time, they have an idea of who he is. They've seen pictures of him before he went to prison as a younger man and all of that. They know of him as the one who fought against discrimination and apartheid in South Africa. The one who led everything. They knew, even myself, those days, I remember, we hung all our hopes on this man. When he comes out of prison, yay, things are going to go well for us. That's how we thought. And so these people who are cleaning and doing their jobs, Nelson Mandela, a superstar, as it were, walks through these corridors with his entourage, heading towards his plane. As he walks past these ladies, oh man, you could have felt it. The screams. Whee! I'm yodeling like that. Whee! Because that's how it sounds. It's not wailing. It is a scream, a shout of joy. It's as if they've seen a true star that had fallen from the sky and is walking before them. He was something else. And as he walks, one of the ladies, with her mop in hand, breaks out in praise and song. Mandela, holy shasha, tsondomsila, wenovela benpensele, yem yem. This is how she moves with the mop around. I know you understand nothing I just said, right? But what she's saying, she is calling out his names, his clan names. Remember, Nelson Mandela was a chief in his little tribe, right? So whenever he would walk around from the Tembu tribe, whenever he would have a praise singer walking with him everywhere he'd have a praise singer because he is royalty. Apart from the fact that he is a anti-apartheid leader, he was also a big chief of his clan. So, but this woman, in her excitement, in her overwhelmed state, breaks out in chants and songs, and she's got a mop on her hand and her uniform, orange uniform, and she oh yum yum, nzondom sila, mtembom khe, and she continues to sing. Praises for a man who was but a man with all the faults of a man. To her, he was something different, something more. Luke gives us a story of Mary, gives us the story of the birth of Jesus. And in this story, he has numerous songs. He has four songs, in fact. Simeon, has a song for Jesus in Luke chapter 2. The angels sang when they announced the birth of this child to the shepherds, Luke chapter 2. Zechariah sang in chapter 1 when he was told that he would have a child, John. Mary is the one I would like us to think about. Mary's song is an amazing song. I'm not sure whether it was a song or was it just what I think this woman did who met Nelson Mandela. Was it just a chant or was she just words just came out reciting a poem in utter excitement, but it's said to be a song. And this song just comes after she has been greeted by her cousin, Elizabeth. She's gone to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. And Elizabeth herself, something touches her when Mary walks in and says, "Hello, cuz." Elizabeth would have been much older than Mary. Mary is just a young teenage girl. Elizabeth would be proverbially over the hill. Let's say over 50. She was barren. She was not in a position to bear a child. But for God, she was now pregnant. And Zechariah sings this song. But as Mary walks in, she bursts out in praise to Mary. "Oh, what have I done to deserve this, that the mother of my Lord is here?" And the child, she says, the child in a womb, John, preborn John, kicks in the presence of the Messiah. Mary walks in. Now I want you. On Monday past, we were at Island Bible Chapel, where Brian Winner, Pastor Brian, was sharing with us some archaeological findings regarding Christmas time. And some of it was really eye-opening, I know, to many folks who were there. Inasmuch as we make big deal of Christmas with beautiful trees, poinsettias, our homes lit up, and all kinds of things, the birth of Jesus was very ordinary in terms of the situation. Young girl, pregnant, husband or fiancé thinks, I'm not wanting this one, this is not my baby. Having to travel to Bethlehem, from Nazareth to Bethlehem, having to travel, it's very ordinary. There was nothing about Mary that stood out. It was just a young girl. That's all she was. Anyway, she gets a visitation from the angel. She hears the greeting of her cousin Elizabeth. The situation she finds herself starts to boil. She's been keeping all of this in her heart. She's been not talking too much about the fact that she had a visitation from an angel. Not talking too much about Joseph, who also had a visitation from an angel. All of this is in her heart. Imagine 16-year-old young girl. Imagine you are betrothed, you are engaged, and all of these news that are just breaking out. All of this is happening around you. And you go into your cousin's house to visit her. And when you come in, she starts praising God because of you. Just imagine that. It seems to my mind's eye, to my imagination, she just could not hold it in any longer. She just could not hold this news any longer. Hence, she bursts out. There are two parts to Mary's song. One is of God's grace, and the other one is about salvation. Grace and salvation. But before we go to these two parts of Mary's song, who on earth is Mary? Mary has been a polarizing person, character in the scriptures. We can have an overinflated view of Mary or a very low view of her. And both are wrong. One, who is she? She's a girl. It was not unusual in those days for 16, 15-year-olds to be married. Yeah, I can see your facing not happening. But it was not unusual in those days for that to be the case. But what we see of her, as revealed in the scriptures, she is a devout girl, a good Jewish Israelite girl, who, like Zechariah, like Simeon, have been expecting something to happen to the nation of Israel. They have had an expectation of the coming of the Messiah. God has been silent for a long time, 400 years, no prophet on sight, none whatsoever. Things are quiet. But for her, it seems as if she's been, why am I saying she has been expecting, not just in a body, but she's been expecting. The way she sings from the time of the visitation, when the angel says to me, Mary, do not be afraid. All she does is listen. And she listens intently to what is being said. The angel pronounces to her, announces to her that you will have a child. She says, I don't know how that happens. How am I going to have a child? I've never been with a man. Nothing is impossible for God. The angel says, don't worry. This child will be God's child. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the child will be God's child. And listen to her words. Let it be to me as God wills. And there's a word. She said, I am only. You know, in our English scriptures, we sanitize words because we are very sensitive to how words sound. She says, I am only not a servant. I am only a slave of God. Let it be to me according to his will. Let my master do to this slave girl whatever he wills. I am available to him. That's the posture of one who has been raised and who has committed herself to the God of Israel. She's been raised in the knowledge of the God of Israel. Now she has committed herself to the God of Israel, even with news that would be utterly devastating to many of us. That I'm going to be pregnant, or that she will be pregnant. I will never be pregnant, I promise. But that she would be pregnant without knowing a man? What is this going to cause around her? What's going to cause in her family? The scandal this is going to cause. But her posture, her response to this news is this: let it be to me according to your word. That's who Mary is. She's been given grace and she's been saved. Now she meets Elizabeth, who greets her. Already in her heart, she is full of the message of the angel. She is full in her heart with all that this baby will ever be. This baby will sit on the throne of his father David, and he will rule forever. That's what the angel told her. She is full of this in her heart. And so, after the greeting, she just cannot keep it in. And then she bursts. Have you seen those videos on YouTube? Some of us would have, where kids put those mints in a Coca-Cola bottle, and then they shake it and they put it there. It goes crazy, right? Oh, you don't know? Just say. I thought I was the only one who watches those things. I am the only one. Thank you, Jackie. Young people are not smart. They will put cement and everywhere, and the bottle will bounce everywhere. But it seems like Elizabeth's greeting was a mint in this Coke bottle, and she bursts in song. I don't know what her voice sounded like. I don't even know what Mary looked like. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Typical of Middle Eastern young girl. She had no inhibitions in terms of emotions. The passion would just naturally well out. My soul glorifies the Lord. My soul glorifies Yahweh, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Why? because God has been mindful of my humble estate, the humble estate of his slave. From now on, every generation will call me blessed. Not because I, like the glowworm, not because I exude glory and grace. No, I am just a humble slave girl. When the angel visited her, she was just doing her normal jobs, going about her normal day. Nothing special, but God entered in. And from now on, every generation will call me blessed. And this generation ought to call her blessed. This generation ought to call her blessed because God chose her, and elevated her to such an estate where she will bear God in her womb. God made man. She did not create God. No, she did not. Otherwise, he would not be God. God is not created by anyone. You were right when you said, Greg, that he always was. Now he takes on human flesh through the womb of a virgin. Through the womb of a virgin. Every generation will call me blessed. Why? For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Friend, if you're a Christian today, I want you to understand you stand on the same place as she is. You are blessed in this generation and those who will follow you. If you die in Christ, if you live all your life for him, this generation will call you blessed because you are. Why? Because the Mighty One has done great things for you. The Mighty One, God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, has done mighty things for you. He has given you Jesus. Oh, holy is his name. And she continues with this grace theme. God has been so gracious to this low person that he has blessed me and has done great things for me. His mercy extends to all who fear him. You are not a Christian because all of a sudden you just woke up, hey, I want to be a Christian today. No, you're a Christian because you saw, by the illumination of the Holy Spirit within you, you saw the lowly state of your heart, of your soul. You saw that you are in need of a Savior. You are in need of mercy. And God has extended his mercy towards you. And because you fear him, you revere him, you hold him in high esteem, his mercy has been extended to you, as it has always from all generation to generation. There's only one way to get to the Lord is by his grace and his mercy alone. And then she goes on to talk about how wonderful this God he is. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He scattered those who are self-sufficient, those who are proud. He scattered them and has brought down rulers and kings from their high thrones. But he has lifted up the likes of Mary. He has lifted up the likes of you and I. He has lifted up the humble. Not just those who speak softly, but those who are humble in heart. Those who are poor, as Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount, those who are poor in spirit, who recognize their bankruptcy apart from him. He lifts us up. That's how God, to Mary, he has filled the hungry with good things, sent the rich away empty. Please don't misunderstand Mary. Don't misunderstand Luke's writing. He's not saying the rich are going to go to hell and the poor to heaven. No, it all speaks about the state of the heart. It speaks about the dependency on God. Regardless of your financial state, regardless of your societal state, forget that. Who is in the throne of your heart? If it's yourself, he will scatter you away. He will bring you low. But to those who are hungry and those who thirst for righteousness, He will fill with good things. He has come to His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. God's grace, Mary recognizes, it's been only by His grace that she is where she is, bearing in her womb the Savior, Jesus. Jesus, the Lord saves. That's His name. And He saves by His grace. The same way that you and I are saved, Mary is saved. The extreme of Mary is that she is the one who gives grace to everyone. She does not. She is a recipient of grace. That's the one extreme. Extreme that she is all holier than anybody else that has ever lived. That's not her thing. She's a recipient of grace. But the other side, where people fall in, is to think, ah, she's nothing. No, she is not nothing. She has been blessed amazingly by God. She's been blessed amazingly by the mighty God. Question to you today. When you hear that Jesus loves you, when you hear that He's been born for you, that God at the right time came to earth and He calls your name, when you know and feel in your innermost man the Holy Spirit tugging in your heart and calls you to repent from your sin, when you hear in your innermost person that He will take your sin and cast it as far as the east is from the west and He'll remember it no more, when you hear with David that He will wash your sins away, when you hear that Jesus is yours, what do you do with that? Oh, thanks. Nice. Is that your response? Oh, may it never be so, dear friends. When the Holy Spirit of God moves in your heart, I will praise Him. You hear the song, right? And the Spirit of the Lord is within my heart. I will sing as David sang. I know I'm nuts. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Mary's song is an exuberance, is an overflow of the overwhelming move of the Holy Spirit in the heart. Gents and ladies, Christmas is a time to praise God. When last did you just stop on your tracks and sit and consider what God has done for you? I'm sorry. When last did you do that? He's merciful. Sorry. He has been so merciful to one of low birth. He's been merciful to a child of nobody. And you hear He's yours? You hear He calls you by name? Not only does He come and just walks around, He dies a death you deserve? Should you and I not sing like Mary sang? Should you and I not just burst like Coca-Cola with mint in it? Should you and I not just really just praise Him? I think we should. I really think, I know. You are not as nuts as I am. Say whatever personality, cultural thing. She says in that first verse, not my mouth, not my dance moves. My soul glorifies the Lord. Everything that the mouth runs over, everything that just comes and pours out of the mouth is because the heart is full of the glory of God. She magnifies. The NIV is so wrong when it just says glorifies. It's right, very right. It's more than just glorify. It magnifies in her soul. God is made big. How big is God in your heart? How big is what He has done in your heart? If He's big, let it overflow with praise and thanksgiving. Father, I am so grateful to You, most mighty King, ruler of the heavens and the earth, so grateful to you that you chose to come and be one of us, so that through you, we may be saved and spend eternity with you. Thank you for such great love. As we celebrate Christmas this year, may it be a different one, I pray. One that will just flow with praises and worship. Amen. Amen. Well, church, we come.